Why should I go to church? The Lord said so. Amen. He said so. What more do we need? In this day, we're forsaking it more. People are forsaking church. And when God said, go, and he said, so much the more. You know what he said? Add services. Don't take away from them. Hello? Well, let's read the book of Genesis. Got everybody about hot. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Man, ain't so much preaching in those two verses. Man, ain't so much pictures in that. There's a lot of praise in that. There's a lot of conviction in that. But we're going to preach on the word without today. But before I do that, let's pray. Father, we love you and we're so thankful for Jesus. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from sin. Father, we need help. And Lord, I come to the place to get it. And Lord, I'm glad you're meeting with your people. You've encouraged our hearts. You've manifested your presence already here this morning through the singing. And Lord, we do appreciate, Lord, you using these folks. Lord, as you saw fit for those to sing this morning, the message that they sang about was a blessing because it's about you. It's about your goodness and your mercy and your forgiveness and about our future, Lord. Thank God we're going to be in heaven. And I say amen, as the song said. And Lord, I pray you meet with us. Help you preacher today. Father, Lord, you saved me and you called me. Lord, I'm up here by divine appointment, by divine order. And so, Lord, my lot today as the pastor of Bible Baptist Church is to preach the Word of God. And I ask you, dear Lord, through the Spirit of God, you'll anoint me fresh, illuminate my mind, my heart, my mouth, and enable me to preach exactly what I'm supposed to. And Lord, touch hearts in the building. Touch hearts that's watching, that we'll be listening later. I pray you'd save those nearest hell that's among us today, that's listening today. Dear God, don't let anybody go to hell that's here today. Save them before it's eternally too late. Touch your people. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now again, I'll get to the message here in a moment, but I want to notice the first two verses. I may not get any farther, so you have to come back tonight maybe for the rest of it. We just don't know. I don't know. We have to let God have his will and way. Notice the verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, there's two things, one in verse 1 and one in verse 2 that I want to notice this morning, and I hope I don't get bogged down in this, but whatever God wants. Now, in verse 1, there's a proof. P-R-O-O-F. There's a proof in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there's proof of creation. Now, I do believe in the biblical account of creation. I believe it was 6 literal days. I don't believe one day was a trillion years and the next day was, I believe it was 24-hour days. God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out of form and void. Now, again, let me slow down. I feel like God wants me to give you this. And this is not a Sunday school lesson. It's a message. But yet, I believe God wants me to give you this. Modern scientists teach that the earth is about 4.5 billion years old. That's what modern science, that's what you learn. They'll teach you that the earth is 4.5 billion years old. However, the Word of God does not teach that. That's not biblical and that's not correct. Listen here, Adam was created on the 6th day. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Adam was created on the 6th day. Now, if you study the genealogy of from Adam to Abraham, there's 2,000 years. You can study that genealogy from Adam to Abraham, that's 2,000 years. So therefore, all right, we got to Abraham, there's 2,000 years. I could say 2006. But we're going to say 2,000 years. So now listen to this. Christian and even secular scholars alike agree that Abraham lived about 2,000 B.C., which was 4,000 years ago. Now, I wasn't good at math, but I know what 4 plus 2 is. It's 6. And if there's 2,000 years between Adam and Abraham, and Abraham lived 2,000 B.C., which is 4,000 years ago, that makes the earth 6,000 years old. Amen. Not 4.5 billion years old. Amen. Now, that just messed with your mind, didn't it? Some of y'all said, I got questions. Well, this is not a question and answer session, but I know some of y'all said, well, what about them old dinosaurs? I don't read about them in the Bible. You're just telling yourself that you don't read the Bible. That's right. Now, Job chapter 41, verse number 1, talked about a beast by the name of Leviathans. Or Leviathans. Give me $100, I'll say it again. I ain't practiced that, too. Leviathans. Y'all don't know if I'm saying it right or not. Y'all just say amen and make me feel better. Thank you, though. But Job talks about they couldn't even handle them when they couldn't even get them out of the water. Great creatures. What do you think about that, preacher? That's a dinosaur. Job is the oldest penned book in the Bible. Now, the Bible's wrote in chronological order, but Job's the oldest penned book in the Word of God. And so, really, we don't really know the times of Job. It was for the patriarchs. It was way back Job. It was time where every man was the high priest of his home because he offered sacrifices for his children. Amen. So it goes all the way back. Hey, but it ain't farther than 6,000. Dinosaur, what about these fossils? I don't care about them. They ain't older than 6,000. Why? Because the earth is only 6,000 years old. We have proof. Right. Have biblical proof. Right. Well, preacher, that's just silly. That's just scripture. Right. So anyway, now that I got you thinking, let's get spiritual. See, in verse 1, we have proof. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he did it 6,000 years ago. We have biblical proof of that. Are you with me? We're going to believe the Bible? Who's smarter than God? I'm not, but he gave me his word. Now, of course, the Bible doesn't say the earth is 6,000 years old because we'd have to be adding. As time goes, it'll get older, just like us. Amen. But today, it's about 6,000 years old. And God created it. He spoke it into existence. We have proof. But then in verse 2, there's a picture. In verse number 2, there's a picture. Notice verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, here we go. The picture. Let's look at the verse. Without form, all I've done, I didn't do a Hebrew study, I done a Webster's 1828 edition study. If you don't have a Webster's 1828 edition, get one. I'll even help order you. You can put the app on your phone. I got it on my phone. Before the wicked publishers got with it and began to destroy definitions, those definitions in that book, Webster was a godly man, and they're biblical definitions. Amen. So, without form. It means this. Form means, here's what form means. The shape or external appearance of a body. The figure as defined by lines and angles. The Bible said the earth was without form. So it did not have shape or external appearance of a body. Didn't have the figure as defined by lines and angles. And it said it was void. That means it was empty, not occupied with any visible matter. Darkness means obscurity. So we believe that. Now, I'm not going to get into discussion. I know C.I. Schofield believes in the gap theory, and other scholars believe there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I'm not arguing that. I don't hold it. But yet we understand that the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. Now, here's the picture. Now, we have the first mention. There's two first mentions here. The word without, well, there's several, but the word without and the word and the Spirit of God. We have the first mention of the Spirit of God, and the first mention of the Spirit of God said he was moving. When nothing was alive, the Spirit of God began to move. The Holy Spirit of God is still moving. Today he is. One day he's going to check out with us. But today the Spirit of God is still moving. So the picture is that without form and void and darkness is a picture of an unsaved man in his natural state. Through the Spirit of God begins to move him, enlisting his mind to truth and inflicting his heart to call on God. Amen. Right. Let me give you that again. God gave me that. Then the Spirit of God moves upon him, enlightening the mind to truth and inflicting the heart to call on the Lord. Anytime that you're moved toward truth, that's a moving of the Spirit of God in your life. That's right. You begin to thinking about salvation. You begin to think about eternity. You begin to think about where you're going to spend it. The Spirit of God is moving in your mind. And then he'll move in your heart. He'll enlighten you to truth, then he'll inflict you. And what I mean by that is he'll begin to swell in your soul saying, that is right. That is what you need. Amen. I'm not talking about a particular feeling, and we get too much on feelings, but you know when God enlightens your mind to the truth that the Word of God is right, that you were born a sinner and you need a Savior and you're going to hell if you don't get... Hey, that's the Spirit of God moving in your mind, in your heart, or your heart or your mind. He's moving. And I'm glad he moved in my life. Quit thinking I was raised in church, that's getting me to heaven. That won't do it. Quit thinking that you're honest and you're a good person and you don't cheat on your taxes and you don't cuss and you don't drink. Hey, that's wonderful, but that don't get you to heaven, friend. You must be born again by the Spirit of the living God. It's amazing to me how folks can say I'm saved but think they can get saved without the Spirit. When Jesus and Nicodemus got together, Christ enlightened his mind to truth and the wind began to blow. Right. What are you saying? The Spirit began to move. Amen. Confirming that in his heart and his mind. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That, hey, when the truth, which is Christ, he's the Logos, he's the truth, he's the Word made flesh, dwelt among us. When the truth got in his mind, he began to see, and the Spirit began to move upon his heart that is right, and you need to be saved. I thank God for that blessed day. I had religion. I had religion up to here. I dare say, not many people, but a few had been to church as much as me before I got saved. I was in church probably 80% of my life before I got saved. Not just Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was in revivals. Saturday nights we were traveling. I was in the house of God. I had religion. I had religion. I had some knowledge of Scripture. And when the more knowledge of Scripture, the Lord, the Spirit of God, was allowed to move in me and say, that is right, you're not saved. That is right. You can't be saved by joining a church. You can't be saved by just being dunked in a baptismal pool. Baptism don't save you. It identifies you. Let me say that again. Baptism does not save you. It identifies you with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Christ saves you. Well, you got to be baptized too, because didn't Peter tell them to repent and be baptized? Yeah, he said turn to Christ and show the world that you did it. He wasn't saying you got to be baptized to go to heaven. He said you need to be baptized to identify. That's big then, it's big now. Baptism, hey, just if you go to, you can go to hell, you can go to hell wet and you'll dry off quick. The old preacher used to say this. A lot of people don't baptize in rivers and creeks and streams anymore. I was baptized in an old Packet River. That's right. I was baptized in an old Packet River. And somebody tried to be funny. Was under that big old iron bridge and he had a sign up there that said limit 2 tons. They put it in the water before I got in there. But the old time preacher used to say this. You can be baptized until the tadpoles know your social security number. I guess I got baptized with a billfold in it, in their pocket. He said, you can still go to hell. See, a lot of people, I had godly parents and grandparents. Hey, we was out on visitation. Me and Taylor and Faith went to the departments and we talked to people and I said, you know the Lord. And two of them had this statement to make to me. Yeah, I know all about it. My grandparents took me to church. Let me pause right here. Thank God for grandparents. Amen. Thank God for you grandparents that love them grandbabies. And if them youngins won't go to church, at least they let you take them grandbabies to the house of God. And I've heard that many times in my ministry. My grandparent, my grandma, my grandpa was saved. And they prayed. I heard them pray. They took me to the house of God. I saw them worship. That's a wonderful heritage. But that does not get you to heaven. Godly parents is wonderful. Thank God for the heritage of good parents. God gave me good parents. Some of you have good parents that taught you the right and wrong and to the word of God. That's wonderful. But it won't get you to heaven. Being raised in a good godly church that believed the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, wonderful, but it won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. And the Spirit of God will move and tell your mind how that is truth, and it'll get in your heart to pull you and draw you and say, come on, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hello, amen. What a picture. What a picture. So we see a proof and we see a picture. Now, in the few minutes that I've got remaining, you say, preacher, preach on, preach on, preach on. That's the biggest Baptist lie I've ever heard. How you know? Because when I preach on, some of you leave. I seen a little clip where it said when the preacher's already preached for an hour and somebody, and he says, I got to quit. And somebody says, preach on, preacher. And there's some guy looking at him like, that'd be me. Dr. Sattler always told us, if you can't tell it in 30, 40 minutes, you might as well make it two sermons. And for the most part, I agree with that. I know there's, but anyway, let's quit that. But I want you to notice the first mention in verse number 2. And the earth was without form. First mention of the word. Now, folks, that's the first mention principle. The first mention of a word. Some of y'all got that first mention Bible that the brother had. I got one. And I've not used it yet, but I have it. Smells good, too, that cowhide. But anyway. When you see a first mention, that meaning follows that all the way through the Bible. And we have the first time the word without is used. The word without means state of destitution or absent from or lacking. Now he said the earth was without. So in the word of God, there are some important withouts. Without some of these things that I mentioned, there's no hope for us. Let me run through them quickly. My time is gone. Number one, without blood. Without blood, there is no possibility of life. Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says this. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The word remission itself means forgiveness, pardon, the giving up of the punishment due to a crime. So if Christ not shed his blood, we'd have no remission. We'd have no forgiveness. We'd have no pardon. Hey, we'd be punished for our crime, and that's sin. Without the shedding of blood, we can't. The Bible said in Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of a believer is in the blood of Jesus. Had Christ not shed his blood, we'd all be without hope. His blood was pure, priceless, and powerful. Amen. And his blood's not lost any of that. Amen. His blood's still pure, it's still priceless, and his blood's still powerful. Amen. It's through the blood. Hey, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. You and I are going to heaven by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb. In the Old Testament, there was a lamb, some lambs, but there's only the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no pardon. I don't care. You say, preacher, I just don't believe like you. So what? The Bible said it. Amen. I'm not preaching Tommyology or what I think about it. I'm preaching theology. The doctrine of God. I'm preaching the God's word. What's the doctrine of the word of God called? Sociology. You Bible students better help me now. Okay. Huh? Yeah. Well, what's sociology? Forget it. We'll talk about it later. It's been over 30 years, folks. But anyway, without the shedding of blood, there's no hope for you. Aren't you glad Jesus shed his blood? Amen. And then number two, hurriedly, without faith. See, without blood, there is no possibility of life. Without faith, there's no pleasing in life. Right. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, you can't please God. God gives us the faith to trust him as a Savior, and without that faith, we couldn't please God and get saved. As Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. God is the object of our faith. I'm preaching fast. A lot of people say, like this saying, keep the faith, keep the faith, keep the faith, and leave faith without anything. Faith in what? You know why I'm not panicking over what's going on in America? My faith, the object of my faith is not the president. These things must come to pass. But that don't, as I preached last week, that don't void the church from being lights and preaching the gospel and going out and being a witness. The day of grace is still here. That does, knowing that we're, and I'm repeating this, knowing that we're victims of prophecy does not say, church, just sit down. He says, church, you better get up and get out there. You better be true light and true salt. But however, we understand that the object of our faith has to be him or we can't please him. See, if God is the true object of your faith, then worry is out the window. Anxiety can be set at bay. And folks, what I'm preaching here don't mean I've arrived in it. I deal with everything I've mentioned. I deal with it too. But if our object of our faith was right, see, my question is this, are we truly pleasing God? Because if our object of our faith isn't right, we can't please him. I don't care how many tracts you hand out. I don't care how many people you witness to. I don't care how many songs or sermons you preach. Without faith, you can't please God. Faith in God. He is anything too hard for him? No. He can do all things. He spoke the world into existence. He's kept it at bay. Don't you understand how God set up the planets and the sun and the earth to turn, all those things, as God set it up, it's still happening today. A big bang couldn't do that because a bigger bang would take it out. The Lord is keeping everything. Folks, you realize the complexity of the universe? I mean, you realize how complex the universe is? Some planets that's out there, we don't even know they're there. You know, poor Pluto, he was out there, and then, you know, he was the man out there by himself, then he found out there's even something beyond him. Now he's lost all his glory. Bless his heart. But we have all these things. If our faith is in God, the God that can do all things, then what in the world is our problem? So here it is. Without blood, there's no possibility of life. Without faith, there's no pleasing in life. Without holiness, there's no presence in life. Again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Preacher, are you telling me if I'm not perfect, I'll never see the Lord? That's not what I'm saying at all, because positionally, Christian, you're perfect in the sight of God. You're justified. Are you listening to me? Positional holiness. He became sin for us. You know, sin, that we can be made righteous. The blood of Christ made us righteous. We're declared righteous. That's justification. So therefore, we'll see him in heaven. But what about having his presence and his power here? Practical holiness. 1 John 3:9. Don't let this verse scare you. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Everybody's all right with this? That's the word of God. Well, here we go, preacher. I'm in a mess. That's speaking of a walk or a lifestyle. There's no way you can have the presence of God in your life if you're living in sin. Living in sin. You're not ashamed of sin. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Folks that are not ashamed of sin will never convince me they know God. You can promote it. You can put it out there for the world to see. You don't care if you church, you preach, or who. You don't care. It don't matter. It don't matter. You're living it up, having a good time. Don't tell me God's presence is in your life. Because the Word of God said it. I didn't say it. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not hitting anybody. I'm preaching to me. Preaching to you. Preaching to us. Practical holiness. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He won't live in it. Guess what? He won't be able to live in it long if he's saved. Amen. That chastening rod gets pretty hot. That chastening rod gets pretty hot. There's no conviction of sin. There's no chastening of sin. The Bible said, if you're God's, and God says he'll chasten those that he loves and those that are his, and if you don't get chastened, then you're not his. I'm going to say this in the context it's written in the book of Hebrews. You're bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. You're not his. Without. So without blood, no possibility of life. Without faith, no pleasing in life. Without wholeness, no presence in life. But then without Jesus, there's no production in life. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verse number 5. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's what he said. The branches get everything about their life from the vine. You cut the vine away from the branch will die. Brother Jerry could stand up here and give us a lesson on that. You know why the Gentiles didn't die? God engrafted us in. That's a good thought. Engrafting. Paul talked about that in the book of Romans. The Jews, God set the Jews aside temporarily and engrafted this old Gentile dogs in. And in paraphrasing, he said, "Don't get too big-headed, Gentiles." He said, "He set the Jews aside. He'll set you aside. Better be careful. You better be humble. You better be thankful." Amen. See, without Jesus, we can do nothing without Him. The song says, "Without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I would be lost." And I could sing the rest of it, but I'd have to make it up. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Quit trying to act like you're doing everything yourself. You can't do anything without Him. Huh. Number one, you couldn't be born without Him. He set up conception of children and developed two genders. He made them different. And the seed of man and seed of woman comes together, and a child is developed. See, without Jesus, you wouldn't even be here. The Lord developed that. Man couldn't develop that. It ain't got no sense. Then He put the oxygen in the air for you to breathe. Breathe in oxygen. Breathe out whatever we're breathing out. Carbon dioxide. CO2, yeah, that's right. I thought you said seal toe, right? That was a new one on me. That's a redneck hearing. That ain't her, it's me. So don't think, I got this. No, you don't. There's no production in your life without Jesus. You're living and breathing, and you have strength and ability because of Jesus. He's the vine. We're the branches. We get everything from Him. Without Him, praise His name. Let's all stand. Miss Lisa, come to the piano, or somebody come to the piano. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open. Church, I've done my best to preach what God laid on my heart. These folks are coming. If you need to come.